الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eder.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي درش بالله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, the prophets of Allah are given the most difficult task. The most difficult mission is given to the prophets. Their responsibility is to invite all of humanity towards Tawheed. And Tawheed means that a person worships only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about worshipping one God. Tawheed means worshipping one God who is Allah. And that is the most difficult task given to any individual, and that is the responsibility of the prophets Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. From the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that all of the prophets that were entrusted this amanat to spread Tawheed carried out their responsibility 100%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that this was a man who was perfect in his mission and that he did not compromise with the people and the community that he lived in. And when we see and study the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also follows the footsteps of the father Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Just to continue from where we had left off in the last session, 10,000 mujahideen companions march with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and enter the city of Makkah. The same people who oppressed the Muslims, the companions, forced them to migrate. Today they surrender completely, unconditionally in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, completely subjugated. And subhanallah, the very first action of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I want to expound furthermore on this topic of Tawheed today so we understand the responsibility that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in a way it also becomes our responsibility. The first action taken by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to purify and cleanse the house of Allah, Baytullah Sharif, the Kaaba. Pagan Arabia, the people in Arabia had drifted away from Tawheed. They had forgotten the message of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and slowly with the new generation they committed shirk, and so much shirk that the Kaaba was used as a storage house for the idols. and more than 300 idols were stocked up inside the Kaaba. Some small, some huge, some were hidden and concealed, and some were right towards the ceiling. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam purified the Kaaba and cleansed it, and all of the idols were broken into many, many pieces. Subhanallah al-Azim. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was also there to assist Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 100% committed in making sure that there are no symbols of kufr in the Arabian Peninsula. That is why even today you will find many of the ulama, of course nowadays you'll find that some of the fatawas have changed, but you will find many of the muftiyan-e-izam who give a fatwa that unnecessarily one should not snap a photo. Unnecessarily one should not snap a photo. And the reason for that is, alhamdulillah, in the hearts of the Muslims, Tawheed is embedded very strongly. Very strongly. And anything that would trigger any kind of shirk in any shape or form should be abstained from. And that is how shirk actually started. You'll find today that a lot of people don't just worship false deities in the form of graven images, but you also find people who worship false gods in the form of pictures. In the form of pictures. Ji ye Hanuman ka photo aa gaya, Bhagwan ka photo aa gaya. La ilaha illallah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. And what we need to do is to explain to our young children that are here. So important. We need to sit with them and we need to explain to them that, my son, remember, if you want to enter Jannah, you will only get to Jannah if you worship Allah. Stay away from shirk. Don't underestimate the shaitan. Allahu Akbar. In the school environment, in their surroundings, you'll find a lot of shirk that is out there. Friends that are mushrik, that do a lot of shirk. And it can influence the child very, very quickly. And so we need to make sure that the foundation is very strong. And the label we give to anything that is not the command of Allah is shaitan. That this is purely satanic. Purely satanic. And so we need to make sure that the children have a very firm foundation of iman. Subhanallah al-Azim. So ulama have said that to abstain, that is better. Abstain, that is better. And when we look at the kalima is an incredible phrase that a person recites. The declaration of faith, the Islamic creed, and it has a beautiful beginning. Everything in Islam has a beautiful beginning. If you look at how the Quran starts, Alhamdu, what a beginning. All praises belong only to Allah. And if you look at Suratul Baqarah, how it starts, it challenges a person in front. The foundation of the Quran is so solid. Allah says, there is no messing with the Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The Quran that is in front of you, there is no space for doubt or suspicion. You can't doubt any verse of the Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And if you want to become a Muslim, very simple. You have to take a sword out. What do you have to do? Take a sword out. And that sword is the sword of La. What is it? La. Can you see the La there? Declaration of faith? On top? Mehrab ke upar dekha hai na La? That is a sword. And it's a unique letter in the Arabic language. La means complete negation. Complete negation. You say, La ilaha. There is no God. There is no God. If Allah wanted, Allah could have said that the declaration of faith is that you say you only worship one God. You only worship one God. But the foundation is so strong. Allah is saying, no. La ilaha. There is no God, illallah, except for Allah. Except for Allah. So when people say to you that, oh, we also worship one God, that is also wrong. It is not about worshipping one God. It is only about worshipping Allah. So if you worship Allah, you're in the right lane. If you don't worship Allah, your line will take you straight to Jahannam, hellfire. And so La means there is no God but Allah. And subhanAllah, let me open up the kalima for you. La ilaha illallah does not just mean man-made gods. It just does not mean man-made gods. It's not about just for someone who believes in other things, other objects, and takes them as deities. But it has a very deep meaning. La ilaha illallah has a very deep meaning. Anything that will turn you away from the remembrance of Allah, that can also be a false god. Anything that will turn your attention away from the true purpose of life, anything that will turn your attention away from the true purpose of life, that can also be a false god. It has a very deep meaning. That is why in the Quran Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen that man who has taken his carnal desire as his god? You'll find some people who have the habit of taking drugs. And he has taken his carnal desire as his god. This is what Allah is saying. Because he is addicted to guna. And so he has to obey his nafs. And when the time comes, he needs to take that. O Al-Aman Al-Hafiz, a man who gets addicted to zina, and so he obeys his nafs. Or a man who is addicted to any guna, any kind of guna. And Allah is saying this is also shirk. Because you are obedient to your nafs, and nafs is dictated also by the shaitan. And so it has a very, very deep meaning. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful declaration of faith. We need to understand what is the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This phrase is uttered 17 billion times in 24 hours. If someone was to say that people don't praise God enough, then they haven't met a Muslim yet, have they? If people say that people don't praise God enough, then they haven't met Muslims. Muslims praise Allah 17 billion times. Just this declaration of faith, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, 17 billion times. Umar is looking puzzled. He wants me to be a mathematician in front of him and let us work it out. So for an example, in your attahiyat, you have the declaration of faith, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. So minimum, let us take the package of salah. The package of salah. In the package of salah in the 24 hours, if you were to read the kalima 17 times, and say you have 1 billion Muslims in the world today, how many times is that? If they read it once, 17 billion ho gaya. But we are more than 1 billion. Alhamdulillah, we are more than 1 billion. But let's say 1 billion. So if 1 billion people read the attahiyat in their salah minimum 17 times, kitne hue? 17 billion times you are declaring that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final messenger. And there are two distinct parts in the kalima, two distinct parts. One is complete negation, and the second part is affirmation. One is negation and one is affirmation. Ek nafi hai aur ek isbat in Arabic. Allahu Akbar. What is iman, my respected brothers? We need to actually understand that, and why this mission was given to Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. I have hardly seen a person, and alhamdulillah, many times this opportunity is given to us. I have hardly seen a person who wishes to embrace Islam, and he sits in front of you and he says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and tears don't flow out from his eyes. Hardly. Main Allah ke ghar mein baitha hua hoon, really, no exaggeration. And I always look at the eyes. That is the power of the kalima. That when a person is sincere and when he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, it has an impact on his heart and it will affect the eyes. It will affect the eyes. This is the power of the kalima. One hadith which is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, which is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, Jaddidu imanakum. Renew your iman. Renew your iman. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in said, Ya Rasulullah, kaifa nujaddidu imanana. How can we renew our iman? How do we renew our iman? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Akthiru min qawli la ilaha illallah. Frequently utter the words of the kalima, kalimatu tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Let this be your habit. You stand up, you sit, you're doing your business, you're eating, whatever you do in any posture, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. That is why there is one hadith which is narrated by Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala in the Sunan of Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayh. Beautiful hadith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afzalu dhikri la ilaha illallah. That the best form of zikr is la ilaha illallah. That is why you will also see Sufyan-e-Izam from the Chishtiya group of people, the Chishtiya sect, that their form of zikr is zikr-e-jahri. And when they do the zikr of Allah, they actually do the zikr of Allah by the words La ilaha illallah. And they'll say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And the foundation of that is also the hadith which is in Sunan Tirmizi, narrated by Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afdalu dhikri La ilaha illallah. That the best form of zikr that you can do is to say La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. That is the declaration of faith. And when you say la ilaha illallah, it actually means la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi, actually not a sahabi, the father Shaddad is a sahabi. And the son whose name is Ya'la. Ya'la narrates, and this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh. Ya'la says that my father was speaking to us and we were a group of people. My father is a sahabi whose name is Shaddad. And he says, with my father Shaddad, another sahabi was sitting whose name is Ubada bin Samit. Now the reason why sahaba-i kiram ajma'in would speak hadith and in a group of people that were there, even if there were other companions, so that the chain of narration is very, very strong. So what Ya'la is saying, that my father was speaking to me and he narrated the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that hadith whilst another sahabi was also there whose name is Ubada bin Thamit. And he said that we were with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a group of companions. A lot of the companions were there, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, Hal fikum ghareeb? Hal fikum? Ghareeb. Now look at the Arabic language. Ghareeb in the Urdu language means someone who is poor. Someone who is poor. But in the Arabic language, ghareeb means someone who is a Christian or a Jewish man. From the Ahl Kitab. From the Ahl Kitab. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, Hal fikum ghareeb? Is there someone who is ghareeb here? And really, these people are ghareeb anyway. And so sahaba kiram ajma'in looked around and they said, La, Ya Rasulullah, no one is ghareeb here. Everyone is a mu'min, a believer. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, close the door. And the doors were shut. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you lift up your hands. All of you lift up your hands. Sahaba kiram ajma'in lifted up their hands. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, this hadith is in Musnad Ahmad. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do the recite the kalima. Akthiru qawli la ilaha illallah. Recite the kalima and say la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. You'll find many people who have a problem today when the imam completes his salah and when the imam makes dua. A lot of the people have quite a difficulty to digest the fact that, you know, to lift up the hands and to make dua. And very often they say, where is this in the hadith? Where is this in the hadith? Aray bhai, what is the problem if all of the Muslims lift up their hands and make dua to Allah? If you don't like it, don't do it, bhai. We are not saying that this is farz. Are we saying this is farz? So this man came to me and he goes to me, where is it in the hadith? I said, I will answer you. But do you know all the hadith? He said, yes. I said, okay. Go and find for me in the hadith where it says that the Kaaba should be covered with a black cloth. That the Kaaba should be covered with a black cloth. Go and find out the hadith, then come to me and I will tell you the hadith. Abhi tak nahi aaya. He still hasn't come. Sometimes I see him, no? See, what happens? I said, what are you talking about? Is that also haram? Is that also haram? What is the problem if the Muslims lift up their hands and make dua to Allah? And ulama have given permission. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it. We are not saying it is false. Sheikh Hisham, who is the imam sometimes here he leads prayers here, he's an imam from Taif, mashallah. He's an imam of Taif, he does not do dua after salah, there is no problem. But Allah says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that your ibadat and isti'anat is only for Allah. And only you we worship, and only you do we seek assistance from. And so we are only worshipping Allah, and we are only doing and mentioning those supplications which are in the Quran and in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it is, there is verification in the hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his salah, would recite certain supplications like Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, like Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarat ya zal jalali wal ikram. And so this is in the musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, that he gathered all the companions and this was an ijtima'. And he said that lift up your hands and aksiru qawli la ilaha illallah and say la ilaha illallah. And so the companions were saying la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Thereafter Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says enough. And he says alhamdulillah, all praises belong to Allah. And he said, ya Allah, you have sent me as a Nabi to the people to convey the message of Tawheed to them. And this is the message of Tawheed, la ilaha illallah, that you worship none but Allah. And you will never break your promise. And you have promised me that you will grant people who say la ilaha illallah Jannah. Thereafter Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contemplated and he looked down and he looked at all the companions and he said that, let me give you the glad tidings that Allah, kad ghafar Allahu lakum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of you. Allah has forgiven all of you. This is the power of the kalima, kalima to tawheed. Don't underestimate that, my respected brothers and elders. And in fact, there is also another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that were there, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. There is not a person who testifies to La ilaha illallah, then he dies, but for sure Allah will grant him Jannah. Now Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala was amazed. And he said, ya Rasulullah, just by saying La ilaha illallah, Allah will give him Jannah. And he said, wa in zana wa in sarak, even though he has fornicated and he has committed theft, and he has committed theft, saraka, chori karna. Allah's Nabi said, "Wa in zana wa in sarak," even if he has committed fornication and committed theft. This kalima is so powerful that it will delete all your sins. He was so amazed that he repeated the second time, "Wa in zana wa in sarak." Again, the same answer. The third time, he said, "Wa in zana wa in sarak." Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam this time said, "Wa in zana wa in sarak ala ragmi anfi abi dhar." Even if he commits fornication and has committed theft, although you disapprove of it, O Abu Dhar. Although you disapprove of it, O Abu Dhar. The meaning of the hadith is, it doesn't mean that you say La ilaha illallah and commit sins. It means that the kalima is so powerful that one day it will give you the tawfiq to repent. And that repentance will be a sincere repentance. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, this hadith is in Majma'uz Zawaid. In Majma'uz Zawaid. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, "Shall I tell you the wasiyah of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam?" Now Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, we go back a long way, don't we? After Adam alayhi salam. What is the wasiyat? The advice of Nuh alayhi salam to his son. Nuh alayhi salam ki wasiyat kya hai? And so the companion says, "Ya Rasulullah, indeed we would want to know what is the nasiyah." And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nuh alayhi salam said to his son, "Take from me two things and abstain from two things." And we need to give our children the same advice. Take from me two things and abstain from two things. And Nuh alayhi salam said, two things take from me. The first is, La ilaha illallah. Let your day and night be that you sing the words, La ilaha illallah. That you hymn the words, La ilaha illallah. And he said to his son, that although when you say, La ilaha illallah, there is no difficulty from your tongue. But on the day of Qiyamah, if the heavens and the earth were to be put upon one pan of the scale, and your uttering of the kalima La ilaha illallah was put upon the other pan of the scale, this would, your kalima would outweigh the heavens and the earth. And then he said, your second tasbih in this dunya should be Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. Now this is a unique tasbih. Ulama have mentioned, and this is from the hadith, that the entire creation of Allah is given rizq, sustenance, because of this tasbih. Subhanallah al-Azim, all the animals, this is their tasbih. Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. When they stop doing this tasbih, death comes to them. Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi is the key to their sustenance. That every single entire creation of Allah does the tasbih of Allah, and this is the tasbih, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. And to abstain from two things, very quickly, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from shirk and kibr, arrogance. From shirk and kibr. Our brothers might remember that many years ago, you'll remember that in Afghanistan, when the Taliban actually demolished the tallest Buddha statues in the world. Do you remember that event? And for 2000 years, the Buddha statue was there, carved in a mountain, the tallest of its kind in the world. And this became an international condemnation, in international criticism upon a group of people who were known as Taliban, and people who were supposedly to be of extreme views. And that, how can the Taliban blast and demolish the from the Bamiyan Valley? I think it was the Bamiyan Valley, and you had these statues that were there. Subhanallah. And now it was condemnation from the White House to Azhar University in Egypt. Let me link them together. From the White House to Egypt, the same people who don't allow food to pass through the Palestinian brothers. May Allah give sense to the Egyptians. The place where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. The place where Yusuf alayhi salam passed away But incidentally, he made wasiyat that I don't want to stay in Egypt anymore, and you must take me back to Palestine, Al-Quds. And so Musa alayhi salam took the body of Yusuf alayhi salam to Al-Quds. But this must be an ibrah, a lesson for the Egyptians. So international condemnation from the White House to the Al-Azhar University. Allahu Akbar. Now, what people fail to understand, my respected brothers, is that it wasn't the Muslims who had actually demolished the statues in Afghanistan, in the Bamiyan Valley. It was actually the British. In the 19th century, when the British army came with an attempt to conquer Afghanistan, one regiment of the British army had stopped in the Bamiyan Valley. And when they saw the statues, huge statues of Buddha, they took the statues as a target practice zone. And they were firing at the Buddha. And this is historically recorded. Mushtaq, are you listening to me? In case this is historically recorded, so much so that when this regiment left, what the Afghans saw, shockingly, was just a pile of rubble. And in 1950, the king of Afghanistan, looking at the Bamiyan Valley, he actually asked for aid and assistance from India, that India should help Afghanistan, at that time, 1950, so that they could restore what has vanished as Afghans' heritage. So it was actually demolished first by the British army. And the Taliban scholars were even more shocked to see this furore that comes out from the mouths of Jewish people and the Christian people, because the Bible itself says that the idols must be destroyed. In Exodus chapter 20, 1 to 5, Apparle. In Exodus chapter 20, 1 to 5, Apparle, the Bible itself is saying that the idols should be destroyed. Subhanallah ilazim. So there is nothing about Islam and that Islam is on a mission that does not respect the other religious views of the opposition. No. You did not have any Buddhists living in Afghanistan, so there was a need for the Afghan government or the Taliban government to preserve the Buddha statues. There was no need. But if there was a minority under an Islamic government, then it becomes imperative upon the Islamic government to give protection to their places of worship and whatever they worship. And let me give you an example of that. One millennium has passed for the Muslims to rule Egypt. One millennium has passed for the Muslims to rule Egypt, and you'll find all the phoenixes and even the pyramids to be all intact. Hey, Ani? And a better example than that is that the Muslims have ruled India for 1,000 years. Never have Muslim rulers made it mandatory to impose Islam upon the Hindu community. Even today, you have 6 million idols in India alone. How many idols do you have? 6 million idols in India. That is how tolerant Islam is. And so Islam is about laws. So for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take out all the idols from the Kaaba was a direct command from Allah. And to make sure, because the Kaaba is the greatest symbol of Islamic monotheism, and the Arabian Peninsula should be free from shirk. As for other parts of the world, where you have a minority that lives under Islamic majority, and the ruling party or the government are Muslims, then of course they have to be given that protection if they give jizya. Khair, my respected brothers, what I'm saying is that Tawheed is so important, and that we must make shukr of Allah that Allah has made us from amongst the Muslims. Our duty is that we explain to our young children and explain to them and take the names and say to them that people, if you worship that, it will take you to Jahannam, Because that is shaitan. And this is shaitan. And this is shaitan. And this is shaitan. And make the homework easy for them, so that the father's lesson is glued and inserted deep into the heart, that he will always remember that my father passed away, but I remember my father gave us good advice. Just like how Luqman alayhi salam gave good advice to his children. Just like the prophets gave advice to their children. Ya Bunayya, O my children, who will you worship after my departure from this dunya? Who will you worship after my departure from this dunya? And this is a very important lesson, my respected brothers. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and we will see that after taking control of Makkah comes the events of Taif, and what the people of Taif wanted to see from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but how vehement Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in his mission of Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong in our Tawheed. Just to conclude, that the first part of the kalima is complete negation, La ilaha illallah. And the second part is complete affirmation, Muhammad Rasulullah. Which means that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is our role model. And Muhammad Rasulullah means that our success in this world and the hereafter is only by following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is the first pillar of Islam, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min az-zalimin. Allahumma aj'alna min al-faizin. Allahumma ahdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allahumma aafina, Allahumma arhamna. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ta'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.